This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings. We are live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. The sportsbook is popping right now. Three games in action. Florida Atlantic, a four-point favorite, down four right now to Northwestern. Baylor up on Colgate, 59-42. And San Diego State, that game tipped off a few minutes ago, up 16-13 right now. And Mike Palm in for Michael Lombardi, like he is every Friday. You just took some live action not too long ago on Northwestern.
Yeah, I took a minus 2.5 when they were up four. They got the lead up to nine. Yeah. It was now back down to four. So they're a pretty heady team. They're a good free throw shooting team. I like Boo Booey. And hopefully they can hang on down the stretch here against last year's Final Four participant, Florida Atlantic.
We were just talking in the commercial break, a team that brought everybody back from last year, but they've struggled at times this season.
Very inconsistent play this year. I mean, what were they, like 31-4 last year or something? They had some very gaudy record.
Yep, and credit our guy Will Hill last year. He had FAU from the beginning as a Final
Four team. Did you listen
to
the podcast? Because Gil teased it. I didn't have time to listen. They did it again this year with Todd Wishnev, and they agreed on a long shot Final Four team this year. I haven't listened yet, though. I didn't know if you had listened.
No, I hadn't heard
it. We'll have to figure that out.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe someone can tweet at us.
I need to know. we got another game that is about to... it just did tip off, so we didn't get in on it right away. But Marquette and Western Kentucky. This is a game, like, similar. We had Tom Casale on a little bit ago from Sportsline. We were talking about that Alabama College Charleston game. He's laying the nine in that one, but a high total game. Those are two teams that are very offensive. They play very fast. Similar thought process with Marquette in Western Kentucky. I took a little bit on the total in that game over, but nothing really else flew out to me on these early games. I did take the 7 points with UAB in this game against San Diego State, but it's still so early in that one, so nothing really worth looking at. Anything else that you really like today? I know we talked earlier in the program about New Mexico.
Yeah, I was just sending to you and Steph the plays. I'm on Wisconsin, anti-public play there. Charleston, so I'm opposite of Tom Casale on that one. Took 9.5. After I watched Boise and Boise State in Colorado, as soon as the game went final and they posted a number, I bet Florida. I think Florida could make a run.
So even without their big man.
Yeah, I was not impressed with Colorado, I got to tell you. I thought Boise should have probably won the game.
They should have.
Right? I thought they were the better team. Colorado played better down the stretch. And I just think the SEC and what Florida went through this year should have toughened them. And then my other play is a hedge play. Because I bet St. Mary's at 175-1 in December when they were struggling. So I took Grand Canyon in the 5.5. This is a tough first round draw for St. Mary's. I agree with Tom. If they win and they get Alabama, I like their second round draw, but they got to get through the first round. And if they can get to the Sweet 16, then I make money off my ticket.
They had a few of those games that the committee put together where there were teams that I liked to win a game or two, and they matched them up against each other.
Oh, no.
You're just kind of like, all right. But Grand Canyon was one of those.
I took Arlington in that final of the WAC, right? I thought 7. Remember, we talked with Aaron Moore about it because he had the future on Grand Canyon. He was trying to get to 7. The game got to 7. They were first half was good, but then they pulled away.
Talk to me a little bit more about your thoughts on Florida, though, because I going into the SEC tournament, really liked them. I had a lot of conversations with Mike Somich, who hosts The Handle, about how they were looking like a Final Four team potentially. And then their 7-footer, their big man, breaks his leg. And that pushed me out on Florida.
Well, I'm out on them making the run now. You know, before that happened, Mitch was able to get him in that draft that we had. He bought the pick from the guy. The last pick was a $1,000 future, and he bought it from the player that had the pick, was a double pick, for 500 and got Florida at 60-1. I get it, but I still think the matchup, I think their guard play and the physicality of their perimeter players will limit Colorado on the outside. And Colorado is not going to be able to get to the baseline as much as they did against Boise. Against Florida in this matchup. But yeah, that was a team that could have been like a team that made a run that was like fourth or fifth in a good conference that could get on a hot streak. So unfortunate to the injury. Marquette, I had several friends of mine that our avid college basketball bettors that were trying to get me to buy in Marquette at 35-1, 28-1. And, you know, they were top 10 team. And then the injury bug happened. And I'm sort of glad that I didn't take those futures at this point.
Already 5-5 in that Marquette-Western Kentucky game, less than 3 minutes in. But that's just how things play out. Like I said, they're fast-paced. We'll see how that goes. The live total, 160.5 already early. One of my favorite teams going into the tournament is Auburn, a team that didn't deserve to be on the four line, but they are, despite being the number four overall team in KenPom. They're laying 13.5 in their game against Yale from the Ivy, a team that was on the brink of not winning that tournament. They were down significantly to Brown, but came back. So I like Auburn a lot today. And we're both on New Mexico against Clemson. See if the 11s can sweep, which I think is pretty remarkable.
It is. And we never hear about the 11s.
No.
They're not the darlings, right? You hear a lot, you know, because they say double digits. That's always the stat. Yep. Double digit seeds. But we forget about the 11s. Like 10 sevens, half the time the 10s are favorites, right? And the 8-9, you never know. But there's sort of a demarcation line with 6-11, but it doesn't get as much attention. So I hope that San Diego State and New Mexico can move forward for you, because your heart belongs to the Mountain West.
We need to get something good going. I mean, after watching Colorado State put up 11.5, like, we need some positivity. So, like, I hope I do. Like I said, I have a bet on UAB, but I need SDSU to win that game. We need New Mexico to win. We need Utah State to have a good showing today against TCU in a closely seeded game. 11 seeds, by the way, the updated stat there since 2010, 30-25. And like we said, 3-0 so far in the tournament. And the stat that our guy Chris Felica gave us of teams that are
seven
in that 11 seed that are favored, 7 of the last 8 have won and covered. So let's get to a couple NFL headlines here quickly. In about 15-10 minutes or so, we'll have Michael Kohler join us, who covers the Vikings very closely. We'll talk a little bit about some of their thoughts and decisions that they made taking that pick from the Texans and what they might do to trade up to get a quarterback. Lots of different questions on Justin Jefferson. But another wide receiver who's in the news today, Odell Beckham Jr. There's a report from the Miami Herald, Barry Jackson, reporting that the meeting between OBJ and the Dolphins went well. The team hopes to sign him, and reports on the OBJ side that there's strong mutual interest. But the question with a guy like him is always, what's the asking price, right? So do you think that this works out, and at what cost?
That's interesting. They want to add him to that wide receiver core there, huh?
Because Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle aren't, there's not enough talent. Like, clear, I mean, wide receiver like three.
He is. What does he do to the chemistry there, right? How many times does he expect to get targeted in Miami? I think it's very interesting for them to go reach out to him. A little strange to me. I could think of probably a half dozen other teams that might think that he would fit in better.
He's coming off a 1 year, $15 or $16 million deal with the Ravens. Had 35 catches on 64 targets, 565 yards, and 3 touchdowns in those 14 games. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since 2019. Like, we talk about it all the time. The amount of money that this guy has made from one masterful catch, it's insane to me. And we have all this talk about the running backs not getting paid, yet OBJ's out here getting $15 million a year.
You can plug anybody in to be running back. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all, except Saquon.
Do you think that the running back market this year, the way that these guys got signed and didn't have to deal with all the drama that they did last year, is that more about this year's draft class at the position, or just more understanding that, hey, these guys do deserve to get paid a little bit more?
I think the pendulum swings back a little bit, right? It got so extreme. Here's the problem with them. The shelf life is so short. Mm. I mean, even the best, what do you expect out of them? 4 years? 5 years? The careers of the Emmitt Smiths and these guys that got, and even now we're talking about the 18-wheeler. How much does he have left in the tank? How many rushes a game can you give him, right? Do you manage him, give him 10 a game, try to keep him healthy in Baltimore till you get into, you know, mid-December and then into the playoffs? So it's just, you can't go out and give these guys the ball 20-25 times a game and expect to have 10-year careers. And so that's why I think the price goes down. Because of that.
Because of his age, Derrick Henry, would you say that Saquon will have a bigger impact in Philadelphia than he will in Baltimore?
Yeah, I would say that. I would definitely say that. And you know, they're breaking their tendency there to have the committee, right? They always do running back by committee and plug and play, and now they're going to feature this guy. So it's very interesting. Does this take some of the maybe pressure off Jalen Hurts, maybe some of the attention? Does this allow him to be not so much of the offense has to be because of him, because he's the only, you know, name? Maybe that helps in that respect, too. Maybe they want to stick it to the Giants, their conference, right? Their conference rival. What was that one of the props? Would he have over four and a half touchdowns or something
all
like that?
All that stuff with Tiki Barber, too, I thought was
ridiculous.
Atrocious.
Dead to me?
It's not his fault it's that commerce. They didn't give him an offer.
It's business, Stormy. Where's the loyalty from the company side? You know what I mean? They always say, oh, the player is not loyal. But what about the team? What about the company?
That is the thing that always kills me. And I feel like it's in sports and like with certain companies, day-to-day life, too, that like the people are always villainized and the company isn't. When it's the company, it's because it's a business. Mm-hmm. But when it's a player doing it, like you have a different natural reaction to it. And I'm not sure why.
We're not 40 years ago where people played their whole career with one team and it wasn't thought of, how could you leave this team? They gave you your life and everything like that. That's just not what it is now. People play for multiple teams and you're very rarely going to, in any sport, end up with the team that drafted you.
We're going to hit the break here real quickly. When we come back, like I mentioned, we're going to talk more NFL, get into it all from the Vikings perspective, talk about that division. Also, just thoughts on Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta and the impact that he might have there. And lots more college basketball that we will keep you updated on. Tie game, or just kidding, Marquette taking a 2-point lead now, 10-8, with about 15 and a half minutes to go in the first half. Best bets at the end of the show as well. And does Palm have a qualm? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you like this show, you love the GM Shuffle. It's a must listen for every football fan. You can hear our guy, Michael Lombardi, former NFL executive, Super Bowl champ, give his unfiltered opinion on players, teams, and coaching decisions every Monday and Thursday throughout the entire year. Download and subscribe to the GM Shuffle podcast from VSiN and DraftKings today, wherever you get your podcast. You can also download the Lombardi Line in podcast form each and every day alongside Mike Palm, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. And let's stick with that theme of the National Football League as we welcome in Matthew Kohler on the Progressive guest line, Vikings reporter for the Purple Insider, author of Football is a Numbers Game, at Matthew Kohler on X. Welcome in. And how are we feeling about the Vikings right now post the free agency serve and Kirk Cousins no longer in the building?
You know, I think it's kind of like that first spring day when you open up the windows and you feel that fresh air blow in. That's kind of what it feels like for Vikings fans, because over the last 6 years with Kirk Cousins, there was a malaise that kind of set in of being pretty good and being competitive, but never really going into a season where you felt like you could actually compete for a Super Bowl. And of course, there are plenty of teams in the NFL who would die to have Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. The Jets, the Bears, you know, teams that haven't had them in a long time. But there's like a different circle of hell where you win 9 games all the time and you never can quite get over the top. And with Kirk Cousins' contract, they could never figure out how to build a strong enough team. So now they get him off the books and you have this opportunity in a draft that is full of quarterbacks to pick somebody to pair that player with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison in an offense that is really well set up to succeed. And I think that Vikings fans were very ready for something fresh here to happen. Now it's just about making it happen. And if you guys know which quarterback they want, let me know, because we're spending every day trying to figure that out.
Matthew, how much of a possibility do you think it is that Jefferson's not on the roster in September?
0.001% chance that he's not on the roster. I mean, look, I think that it's wonderful that people have Photoshop and they can put him in lots of different jerseys on the internet. And that's cute. I personally would try to do better art than that, but you know, not everyone's talented. So that's fun, but that's not realistic at all. Like literally not any chance that Justin Jefferson is playing for someone else. I mean, first of all, they would be absolutely out of their skulls to give up the 24-year-old best receiver on earth. That's one thing. Another thing is, too, that Justin Jefferson, I know there's a lot of receivers who have forced their way out of places, but when you're on your rookie contract negotiating your second contract, that's not really an option. I mean, just the way that the collective bargaining agreement is set up, the Vikings have a fifth-year option and two franchise tags. So if Justin Jefferson wants to hang around till 2027 and wait for this, he certainly can. But, I mean, the Vikings general manager, their owner, they have all been effusive in saying over and over again, we want to get this done. They negotiated last year. They got close to a deal. And I am very confident that they will get a deal done. It's just going to take a while, though. Just like with Nick Bosa, when you have the best player at his position in the league, it is not a simple contract to work out. This isn't signing an undrafted free agent to come to work out for you at training camp. I mean, this is a very complicated deal, the structure, the years, the money. And if you're Jefferson, you're holding a lot of cards here. But he's not going to say trade me. And even if he did, they would say absolutely not. So I think that, you know, what never works for us in football media is saying, yeah, they'll get it worked out later. Let's be patient. We much prefer to be like, who could trade for him? But I don't think that's going to happen.
I do feel also like it's a little bit of a game of chicken right now between he and CeeDee Lamb. Okay, what are you going to get so that I can become the highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League right now? And also speaking to those Photoshops, yes, a lot of the proportions are very off. Even Kirk Cousins, when he went to the Falcons, I was like, who is this gigantic head? Speaking of quarterback position, though, and you say like if you guys know who they're going to trade for, everybody keeps on talking about J.J. McCarthy. You guys obviously make the deal with the Houston Texans to have an opportunity to be flexible in the draft to trade up. Like, what's your thoughts on McCarthy and if he could be the guy?
So it's so interesting because we trust draft analysts way too much, right? Like every year we say, oh, it's going to go exactly this way. We have so much confidence. And then draft night comes and we're shocked that Malik Willis is a third round pick, or we're shocked that Will Levis drops out of the first round, or Johnny Manziel drops, or whoever, Jimmy Clausen back in the day when I think, wasn't it Mel Kiper who bet his career on Jimmy Clausen, I think. And then, you know, he turned out to be a second round pick. So I think the world is assuming that it's going to go 1, 2, 3, and then someone will trade up to 4. And that someone could very well be the Vikings. I'm not 100% sure that they love JJ McCarthy as much as the outside world thinks they might. They don't usually tell anyone. That's just kind of how it works. But I think if it goes the way that the draft analysts believe, then the Vikings need to use their draft capital to make sure they get one of the top 4 quarterbacks in this draft, because at least it feels like there's 4 really excellent prospects and then 2 more guys that maybe you could talk yourself into. But where the Vikings are with Justin Jefferson, with Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, they've got this really good setup as an offense. They can make an argument that anybody that they draft, they can put into a great position. And we saw Brock Purdy succeed that way. We saw Jalen Hurts succeed pretty quickly in Philadelphia with a great offense around him. And I think the Vikings need to be able to do the same thing, which is just get someone who can execute their offense. But with McCarthy, I mean, maybe it's a little bit of a signal that they signed Sam Darnold for $10 million, because McCarthy and Drake May both are talked about as guys who might need to develop for a year before they're ready to play. And, you know, I think the Vikings have sort of set themselves up for that scenario. But, you know, the way it would seem right now, if you were sort of ranking possibilities, I would say trading up to number 4 with Arizona and trying to take either McCarthy or whoever else gets to number 4 is probably what their plan is with this trade. But since it didn't happen right away, another trade to the top, now I'm wondering about all the different scenarios that could potentially take place here.
Matt, how impactful do you think Aaron Jones will be on this team?
I think it's going to be huge. A lot of different ways. I mean, number one, the Vikings, since Kevin O'Connell took over in 2022, have been an absolutely abysmal running game. One of the worst in the league. I think they were 29th in yards per attempt last year. It didn't work out to go from Dalvin Cook to Alexander Mattison, but it wasn't particularly good with the older version of Dalvin Cook either. Now, Aaron Jones, that's the one concern, is that he's had the injuries. His last 5 games are amazing, but as far as a full season last year, he didn't get the 700 yards. But I think that paired with Ty Chandler, They can have a bit of a duo there of similar type of running backs. But, you know, from Aaron Jones's perspective, if you're bringing in a young quarterback to play, having that guy there to pass protect for you, to get screen passes, to set you up in second down and five, second down and four in these favorable situations. And the other thing is, too, that just from Aaron Jones's first press conference, you know, he walks in the room and sits down and starts talking for a couple minutes. You're like, okay, this is like a leadership superstar type of vibe that this team is, you know, they're losing their leader in Kirk Cousins. And I think they need that guy in their locker room with a young quarterback, because that's very difficult for a young QB to just come in and be the guy. So I think Aaron Jones allows for like a lot of different ways that he can sort of permeate their success. Aside from just the fact that this guy averages 5 yards a rush for his career. That's the same as Barry Sanders. Like I don't think we give Aaron Jones quite enough credit for how great he's been.
Vikings reporter Matthew Kohler joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. And obviously here at this network, we look at things from a betting perspective. And in terms of the odds in the NFC North, the Lions are the favorite, followed by the Packers and Bears, and all those numbers pretty close. And then you've got the Vikings as a 10-1 long shot, the clear cut last team in the division, according to odds makers. Do you agree, or where do you see the Vikings in the pecking order of the division?
Yeah, I think it's probably third or fourth. They're just, you know, they're not there yet. Like, they're going to have to take a step back with their quarterback situation and with the fact that they moved on from so much talent between 2022 and 2023. They let numerous Pro Bowl players go, and those are not easy to replace. They haven't drafted particularly well on the defensive side recently. So I think they have enough offensive firepower to compete for a wild card spot. But if you're comparing them to teams that have been building for this for years, like Detroit, and then, you know, Green Bay with what they did last year, and I think they're ascending, you know, I really think it's going to be hard. That last spot, though, because none of us know what Caleb Williams is going to be, third or fourth is probably where I'd put them right now.
As far as your thoughts on the Vikings and a regular season win total, what are your projections? Do you think this is a team that can be over 500, can win 10 games perhaps?
The hard part about that is, like, who's playing quarterback? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if it's Sam Darnold, like, could Sam Darnold win 9 games? I think he probably could. I mean, that sounds crazy, but he went 8-9 as the Panthers starter. So with this team, like, I think that they're well enough coached and have good enough players around him to win, you know, probably 8 or 9 games. But I'd be pretty scared of that over-under if I'm making that bet right now.
Matthew, appreciate your time. Enjoy March Madness this offseason.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Matthew Kohler. Make sure you check out the Purple Insider. We're going to step aside here. When we come back, we'll give you some score updates. We got
overtime
in Northwestern FAU, Aztecs up 10 against UAB, and more.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Start betting smarter with a VSIN Pro subscription. If you sign up today, you get your first year for only $199 instead of the usual $240 price. And all you have to do is use our promo code for this show, Lombardi. Get VSIN Pro access to everything we do for the whole year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSIN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our March Madness betting hub that's updated each and every day with picks for every single game of the tournament. Remember, use that promo code Lombardi. That gets you your first year of VSIN Pro access for $199. VSIN.com/subscribe. Okay, Northwestern up 3 in overtime right now.
Come on, kids.
So I know you hedged a little bit live, your Northwestern minus 2.5 is looking healthier now than it was before. We also have Baylor, who's a 14.5 point favorite, up 18 right now against Colgate.
And how about San Diego State?
San Diego State. We're right on that number right now of 7, 31-24. But can we talk about this for a second? Because as you were looking at the numbers to live bet here going into overtime in Northwestern FAU, the delay between what's happening in the game and what we're trying to do is so tough for live betting, especially in a sport like this where it moves so quickly.
And then you're in the last 4 minutes, too. I mean, like I said to you, if we can get a 2-point lead here, I'm going to put in a good spot where I can get off my first bet or even lock in a middle number.
Do something to be profitable.
But they hit it too. And I said to you, they hit it too, but they might be down 1 because we could be 2 possessions behind. Now they're up 8.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Now they're up 8. There we go.
All right. 2.5 minutes to go there in the 9-8 matchup. But with just good to note for those of you listening right now, I saw on Twitter that apparently if you're watching some of these games on HBO Max, like a full 45 seconds to a minute ahead of what you're seeing on YouTube TV. Massive.
Huge for better.
And especially, again, in college basketball where things are moving so quickly. So food for thought if you have access to HBO Max from that standpoint. Let's get back to a little NFL here because we learned earlier this week Mike Williams signs a one-year deal with the Jets. Tyron Williams does the same, a one-year deal to play up front. And he, talking to media yesterday, said he understands this is a prove-it year. He has a lot to prove with the injuries that he has had, and also that he thinks the Jets could be poised to really do something, to be a Super Bowl contender this year. That's what everybody said last year, too. Everybody talked about how this is a top five defense. This is going to be amazing. Aaron Rodgers on the other side. He's going to run things. He gets four snaps and the season's over.
And now Rodgers is a year older and coming off the injury. And I'm not sure that was a top five defense. I mean, there's different ways.
In terms of yards allowed, they were, but everything else, no.
No, I mean, right. There's different metrics you can look at. But did they impress you as a defense that you said, you know, was going to change games? I guess when the fact that your offense is so limited, your defense has a lot of pressure on it. And Salah is a good defensive coach, but I'm not there, and they're in a pretty tough division. I know the Patriots are way down, but I'm not ready to give up on the Dolphins. Is Buffalo's window closed? I don't know. They had three shots to beat the Chiefs. They didn't get it done, but in terms of a regular season, you still have to think that they're going to be a team that wins 11 games plus probably for the Bills. So I'm not there. I thought the Jets price was way too low last year. I mean, they're like 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, we could ludicrous. And so
because everybody was buying the Kool-Aid and you're watching Hard Knocks and you're seeing how Aaron Rodgers is playing things.
Derek always talks about this, how Hard Knocks affects betting markets and the Lions, obviously. But I said the Lions were also good. Right. But then people start cheering for them. They start betting future tickets. And then that leads them to continue in on the team.
But that was still like another year later. Yeah. Right. So like we finally saw the jump in the influence of Dan Campbell and the way things came together for the Lions. But speaking of that, and I know I'm all over the place, but
that's
with the Lions.
Free flow Fridays.
Last year, you said because they hadn't had the experience, you didn't have faith in them making a deep run and going to the Super Bowl. Because they've now had that NFC championship experience, do you like that bet more this year?
I like the Lions in the NFC as a future bet, and I like the Bengals in the AFC. Okay. Oh, there's a lot of screaming, Stormy.
Northwestern pulling away now. This team was a 4.5, 4-point dog prior to the game. You think that they're in position to win. It goes to overtime. You're questioning everything, and now they're up 9.
They were up 9 with 4.5 minutes to go. They went from 4-9. Then they were down 2, and FAU was shooting 1-1 with 20 seconds left.
Also, now that I'm replaying that in my head, when I teed this up, I said Mike Williams, and I think I said Tyron Williams. I meant Tyron Smith, but y'all got the picture. Okay, so speaking of this, I want to do the last 5 minutes here. Does Palm have a qualm? And let's start with the Jets. We're going to do this make-miss the playoffs edition.
I just like to say, and I know Steph tries to find ones that I won't have a qualm with, it's like 50-50 today.
That's good.
Qualm or not, yes.
I'm starting with one that isn't on the list, though, with the Jets, since we're coming off of that topic.
Oh, boy.
-135 to make the playoffs.
Oh, that big qualms. Okay. Should be plus. Should be a plus number in the AFC.
+110 to miss. Yeah, 12-1 in the AFC, 22-1
Super
Bowl.
That's more Kool-Aid. That's a minus.
More Kool-Aid. Yeah. Like I just don't get it. I'm not a Jets believer. I'm not an Arizona Wildcats believer. I'm not a Kentucky Wildcats believer. Maybe it's a Wildcats thing that I have against in basketball. But I'm with you. I'm out on the Jets. How about the Chargers, though? New head coach Jim Harbaugh stepping in, -115 to make the playoffs.
I just think you can't. I don't have a qualm with this ticket. I mean, he's made dramatic change wherever he's been, right? And you have
immediate too.
You have a close to generational.
We love that word.
I mean, you generational. You can't say, well, they don't have a quarterback in place, and he's got to recreate he's gone right in and made the changes he's wanted to make. People forget how good of a coach he was in San Francisco. That team hadn't made the playoffs, and you're a 49ers fan. They hadn't made the playoffs in 10 years. They were at a low point. They had that roofer guy was the coach, right? Tom Sula.
We had Singletary, Chip Kelly. Like, there were some dark times.
Some
dark times.
But he took that team. They went to three straight NFC title games And he did it with Alex Smith and Kaepernick. So how could you say, I have no qualm at all with that yeah. ticket.
How about the Vegas Raiders?
I have a qualm.
Even at 3-1?
Yeah, I have a qualm.
Big qualm.
I think you need like 550 or 6-1 to take a shot. I don't understand the solution for quarterback. That's my problem. And
I do think like if there was a free agent quarterback that I would have to choose to fit the Raiders, yeah. I like Minshew. I like the aesthetic and the mentality.
We met him. Yeah. He was here like 2 years ago. He was like a fun guy to have a beer with hang out. It was really fun.
I absolutely bet. And I like what they did on defense. Yeah. Like you couldn't have added a better piece than Christian Wilkins.
And they went from being such a poor defense to that was their strength last year. I mean, it was an amazing, but they're always like, oh, they're close. They're 8-9, they're 9-8. They're in the hunt. Can they get over
that? That's how I feel about the Chargers, which I'm excited about Jim Harbaugh to see what he can do. But they're the team that always has this expectations and they don't live up to it.
I'm telling you, San Diego, I know they're LA now, but that's a San Diego franchise. It's tough.
Yeah, they can't win anything.
The teams don't have any. They already have the life. They're making a lot of money and they're in the America's finest city.
They've got the beautiful sunshine, the beach. Nobody wants to go to the games.
We're going
to
be there for the Cubs series in the second week of April. A lot of fun. Tuesday, Wednesday. Tuesday night game, Wednesday day game.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, congrats to our guy, Derek, on the Vegas Golden Knights ring. I saw that the other day. That's awesome.
I think they came on Wednesday and gave him the ring, but I was doing the open ballroom for people to come in and see what we're...
Yeah, you got, you're busy this week.
Big win for them last night. They gave up the lead late. I know we're off topic a little bit, but...
My specialty.
How good is Nashville? I had them last night. That was kind of saved my day.
So Mike Somich and I, every time that we do a show together, he's given bets on Nashville and every time they're winning. Like it's just
16-0-2. 16-0-2 their last 18.
They've been awesome.
They went into Florida, shut them out.
Well, another team with a similar color scheme with the yellow, Pittsburgh Steelers to make the playoffs.
Huge qualms.
+260.
Huge qualms. They've anointed Russ as he's quarterback for life now. No one can. What do you mean they're not going to compete?
Can we talk about how Justin Fields has shorter odds for MVP than Russell Wilson?
But he can't. He's not.
But he's not. But it's not a competition.
There's no. Why would you get? I don't understand this. This Michael has to be all over this when you do the show with him. How inane this is in Pittsburgh, what they're doing.
Well, it's not reality.
Like even Michael said, maybe his skill set has decreased to the point where he's not going to be a winning starting quarterback. And they just put him in there and no one's going to compete.
But it's also Justin Fields. So you especially when it comes to Michael's thought process on things, like we're very anti Justin Fields on the Lombardi line. So
I'm not anti Justin Fields. I think that he still has to keep developing, right? He still has to get quicker reading and get rid of the ball quicker. But I mean, obviously, he's amazingly talented.
And still, like, the accuracy isn't there yet.
Well, it's never been there. Yeah. Even when he was at Ohio State, it wasn't there.
Ooh, I like this one. Do you have a qualm with the Dolphins to miss the playoffs?
No, because I think at +140, you could take a shot that the mad scientist might just be a little fugazi down there.
We talk a lot about the NFC South being winnable from a lot of different areas. Is it winnable for the Panthers?
But not missing a zero. The only way they make the playoffs is win the division, Stormy. They're not going to be a wild card. That's a one bid league.
Bet the 25-1 in the division if you really think the Panthers will play well versus the 10-1 in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm with you there. Okay, we're going to hit the break here, closing things out on the Lombardi line when we return. Finality to our best bets in college basketball moving forward. Some score updates for you. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi line on VSiN and DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DK customers. You can earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager, up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use the code Lombardi when you sign up. Again, that earns you a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager right now. Welcome back to the Lombardi line. We are closing things out. Some results in the books, or just about 30 seconds left, but you're up 11 right now. So 11 and 30 seconds.
We chalked that one up.
We're feeling pretty good about that one. We are at halftime. So San Diego State with a 6-point lead over UAB.
How are you feeling about your UAB bet right now?
Not bad. Still. Yeah.
You think it's going to be close?
They're both going through scoring droughts. I feel like UAB eventually will score a few more, keep it in the window. We'll see. This Marquette-Western Kentucky game is intriguing, though. Marquette closed a 14.5-point favorite. There's about 4.5 minutes left in the first half, so still obviously a long way to go, but they're down one to Western Kentucky right now. And I said in the commercial break, this is kind of giving me vibes of Long Beach State yesterday, potentially.
I don't know enough about Western Kentucky to dispel a comparison to Long Beach, but I don't know that Marquette is as explosive as Arizona is either. The game can go from 3 to 17 in a hurry, sure. Right? I think that's an interesting look at 9.5.
Yeah.
Right. To take 9.5.
I think so too. If they can keep playing like this, I understand where you're coming from. They're not gonna. Marquette probably isn't gonna explode. And
right.
I don't know. If I had to make a bet right now, I would probably take the +9.5. Oh,
you don't have to. That's the good part of it.
The beauty of it. Stetson UConn just getting underway right now as well. The defending champion Huskies a 27.5-point favorite in that one. And we both do like New Mexico today, which scares me because I keep hearing a lot of people liking New Mexico, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong side.
Only because they're an 11. If they were seeded anything else, if this was a 10-7, the same two teams.
But all the 11s are winning.
They've got 7 out of 8. The bear gave us the stat. The trend is your friend.
If they are favored, the lower seed is favored, give them some love here.
This is, to me, as much an anti-Clemson play.
Yeah.
I've watched them stumble down the stretch. The funny thing is, too, when they said, what was Virginia's best win? They got it. Oh, they won by 2 at Clemson. Really? But they stumbled down the stretch. To me, a scratch your head. Boston College dominated them in the ACC tournament. Crushed them. No, I'm going to go anti-Clemson. I think New Mexico's playing really well. I still think the Mountain West was better than what they showed yesterday or the last 2 days. You count the play-in game on Wednesday with Boise just is kind of snake bitten, aren't they?
Yeah,
they feel like that program, right?
They can't get beyond that first game. They can't do it, which is unfortunate because Leon Rice has done a really good job with that program and going from a team that wasn't ever making the tournament to being in it year after year, but they're not doing anything with it, unfortunately. Another game that I love today, I know that it's a big number at 13.5, but I really like Auburn against Yale. I can't get away from it. I think that they're one of the best teams in the country, the way that they've been playing right now.
Did you say you have a future on Auburn to win it all?
I have them in my Final Four. Okay. So I have a Final Four bet.
Have them beating UConn in the... And then beating Iowa State in the Elite Eight.
Yep. And I have North Carolina. My only future I feel good about is North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. It's the only one I feel good about.
You know, I'm a huge North Carolina fan.
No, you're not. Are you?
Oh, yes. Because I love Dean Smith. Never heard all my Dean Smith stories?
Yes, I knew you loved Dean Smith, but I didn't know that retained.
Remember, they were an 8 seed when they made the run to the final and were up 15 on Kansas and lost. Then they didn't make it. I watched them play against NC State, and I think when they get down, now they've been like when they beat Duke twice, they get to the lead and they stay in front and they play confidently. They get behind and they just start jacking up threes. And I don't know that they have the poise and they get in a tight spot in this tournament that they can see it through. And I hate the fact that game's in LA.
Baylor wins and covers, by the way, over crushed Colgate them. In the 14-3, 92-67 the final. We do have a final now in that 8-9 with Northwestern FAU. Yo, cash your ticket.
Cash
Northwestern wins 77-65. Anything else you want to discuss today before we look ahead to some of the games coming up tomorrow?
No.
Okay. So looking at some of the early lines that we have tomorrow, what intrigues you? What stands out?
Intrigues me that Carolina is only 3.5 over Michigan State. Right? Michigan State was a bubble team a couple weeks ago.
Give me your true evaluation of Michigan State right now after what they did to Mississippi State.
That was impressive. The offense they ran was impressive. By the way, somebody tweeted that the team that they commonly liked, Wishnev and Will, was Mississippi State. I'm so sorry. Anyhow,
catching strays.
Yeah. Anyhow, they ran very good offense. Mississippi State's a good defensive team. I thought they ran good offense. I thought Michigan State played very well in the Big Ten tournament. Probably should have beaten Purdue. They did not get a friendly whistle. That being said, North Carolina has a lot of size and athleticism that they keep throwing at you. I just think that's a short number, and I'm considering playing Carolina. Remember, the game's in Charlotte. What's the stat on Duke and North Carolina when they play the first round in the state of North Carolina is like 58-1.
Ridiculous.
Oh, it's ludicrous. So, and traditionally, North Carolina has owned Michigan State. Remember, they beat them in the final in 09. They beat them in the semifinal. They beat them on an aircraft carrier. They beat them in Detroit. They beat them in, you know, they've just not done very well. So I respect Izzo. You know, he's done very well. But I think that number's short. I would have thought that number would have been 5.5.
What about this Gonzaga-Kansas game? Kansas
4.5 Gonzaga.
What had a massive lead, right? Had a massive lead on Samford that they see that get wiped away. But they're also missing their best player in Kevin McCullers. 4.5 Gonzaga. Does that feel like it's too short?
No, it's not too short.
Well, so here's the thing. So many people have talked about, and I told you, Seth Davis pulled me in on McNeese, and I'm hating myself for it. But with Gonzaga, they've been talked about as if like they're not the same Gonzaga of old. But down the stretch, like aside from St. Mary's in a game here or there, like they still won a ton of games this year.
They played good basketball. They beat St. Mary's by 20 in the rematch in the regular season, and then St. Mary's got them in the final of the tournament at the Orleans. I think they're a solid team. Few is a very good coach. It's still Kansas, right? Like I think this game.
I'm just legitimate, not a believer in Kansas.
Nobody is, and you know they're going to bet Gonzaga, so that's why you got to make the line a little more than what you think.
All right, fair. I'm sad that we're getting Oakland NC State. I'm sad that's the matchup.
Wanted Texas Tech, Oakland.
No. Just that side. Of, you know what I'm saying in general. Like,
no, I like it. You know why I like it?
Why?
Because you got this Cinderella. This is the true Cinderella so far, right? Yeah. And they're going up against this team that's on this. They're playing out of their mind.
Run. Yes.
Oh, you don't want one of them eliminated, is what you said. I think it'll be a good game. I can't wait for Oregon Creighton as the nightcap tomorrow, though. The Dana Altman Bowl.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
And then you got the Rick Barnes Bowl, Texas Tennis. Tennis, you're right.
We got great storylines.
Well, the committee, you know, they're all the.
That's what they care about more
that's
than
what they wanted.
Who's all actually good and deserves
narratives.
To be on what seats.
Let's give CBS some narratives.
Just like the brothers playing against each other yesterday. That's what they're all about. By the way, in terms of brackets, according to the NCAA, 0.00038% of brackets are still alive.
3-11s. That's pretty good that you strung the 3-11s together.
Pretty good.
How do you find this mix, right, of favorites and Cinderella types?
Okay, we've got 2.5 minutes before the show is over.
Yeah.
I need a little bit understanding of what's going on with Shohei Ohtani.
I wish I could have provided it to you. You know, the names that have surfaced around this story, obviously, they've been betting. And what role did Shohei have in either transferring funds for one reason or another? Or obviously the implication is either they were placing the bets for him, right, that he was involved in betting. And they were just his beards. I don't think we know enough for Rob Manfred to not come out and say anything about it. This is the sport's biggest star, right? I mean,
for anyone for
Tom
this
Brady,
to happen
Tom
to.
Tom Brady, the balls are deflated. They're gonna put Tom Brady in prison, right? I mean, and he's the sport's biggest star. Baseball is strange. They're very strange, and they can't get out of their own way. But, and by the way, who cares? Like I said to Mitch and Paul, what if Babe Ruth ever made a bet? What if Mickey Mantle ever? Come on. Like, right? These guys drank and caroused and did all that. It's so awful if they weren't. I don't know how many layers of this story will be. And it's happening in a different language. The story's happening in a different language,
well,
right, too.
That's a whole nother layer that makes it that much more difficult. But the fact that the story is, we're only 48 hours in and it's changed 3 times.
Isn't it hard to believe that this interpreter is this Svengali when Shohei's still yucking it up with him in Korea on the bench?
He talks to the team afterwards and says, hey, the story's coming out, and Shohei's shocked.
Well, remember,
and then everything changes.
Image is very important in that culture as well, right? So it's strange. This we might not ever get to the bottom of it, or it may unravel the whole season.
And what I said to you, even if it is true and that it is the interpreter that's been gambling and doing all the things, the fact that he didn't bet on baseball when you're in dugouts all the time in clubhouses.
International soccer.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. You're awesome. This is a ton of fun. Hanging out with us.
You'll be here next Friday?
Yep, I'll be here next Friday.
There's a live Lombardi line tomorrow, too. We should tell the folks, Femi and Tim Murray.
Yep, it'll be fun. We're keep Lombardi line every single day of the week, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for us today. Good luck with your bets. Sharp Money and Patrick Maher coming up next.